on a Wednesday, and time for another episode of Uncensored with Penny Furie.
So hi Dave, and a warm welcome to all our listeners on the North Coast. And today we're discussing issues affecting the Dolphin Coast, and starting with the current topic, the taxi situation in our region. I know Docker was here yesterday, and we unpacked it. You unpacked it with Dion Fulhune, the chairman of DOCRA, but I just wanted to start off with what some of the consensus from the community and how this all started, which took a center stage with the media, and it's going to it was featured at the Dolphin Coast AGM, where the main issue of contention with the residents was the outcry with regards to the taxi situation and how they feel has been captured, our town has been captured. And this was one of the complainants.
That's on a daily basis, and I travel into Bolito and into Mshlange on a regular basis. And just yesterday I saw a gentleman, with a semi-automatic rifle over his shoulder on the exit ramp of the N2 to Bolito. And there were two SUVs that had sandwiched a poor blue BMW. And the people in the SUVs were pulling the guy out of the car on this off-ramp in public. The two SUVs then drove off, and I followed them because I was going down to the Bolito village. And they went at speed. One of the vehicles had aerials on the top, and I thought, well, maybe they're not police because there's no blue lights. There's no flashing lights, and maybe there's security. But I believe that they were taxi bosses, the security. And they went down to the Bolito village, and they addressed and seemingly attacked, and I say this in inverted commas, a poor guy, a poor Uber guy, outside the SPCA. Now, as a resident of the area, and having family, etc., and in this area, who runs the taxi organisations? Is it the taxi bosses that run our Ubers that tell us?
We get the gist of the complainant, although the quality was a bit weak.
Yes.
Was this recent?
Yes, yeah, it was at the public meeting that DOCRA held recently.
Okay, so not since DOCRA has implemented
their... No, which was yesterday. Yeah, so as a result of the complaints, DOCRA took action and they launched this campaign.
And then there's been no further incident, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, there were this week. A lot of people have said they've sighted just off the off ramp coming from Stanger into Salt Rock taxi. I would call them security with inverted commas, standing there where the off ramp is. Obviously, no guns are inside, but they're still there. You know, I have to just unpack it quickly. Effectively, this industry has not been regulated. There's no specific laws or regulations in place, and they've largely operated under self-regulation, which has obviously resulted in an alternative social order. Now, taxi associations have created their own rules. They've got their own moral codes and means of control. They set fixed prices for each route they control, which all members must charge. And now this is the textbook definition of a cartel, by the way. And it's also obviously illegal under the Competition Act. And these associations also actively work to prevent non-members from operating on their routes. In a freer market, this would lead to competition, lower prices, and ultimately benefit taxi users. And we've seen this play out in Bolito, where the Uber and Bolt drivers have face such challenges. The taxi association has demanded that the drivers pay 700 rand a week to operate in the area. And earlier this month, the association even issued a notice banning all vans from transporting staff to work from the area. And did you know, like, the industry is actually estimated to generate at least 90 billion rand in annual profits?
The taxi industry.
Yeah. And the taxi bosses, when they coordinate a strike or protest, the impact is immediately felt on the economy because they have the monopoly. You know, they have the power to bring everything to a standstill because almost 70% of households rely on taxis to commute to work. So so far, the government's been unsuccessful. You take the taxi strike currently taking place on the South Coast, which has resulted from permits. And, I know Cape Town considered a scheme. Have you heard of the Blue Taxis program?
No.
It was a program that the taxis had participated. They had trackers installed, similar to the Discovery's Vitality Drive, and they also offered Wi-Fi. So each taxi was registered, and passengers or other road users could rate the taxi using a unique number. And in return, taxis received a stipend from the government if they maintained good scores and if the tracking data showed they didn't speed or drive recklessly. So essentially, the government was paying them to follow the law.
Is it no longer?
So it made a remarkable difference when they actually proved the incidences involving Blue Dot taxis gone down. It was making a difference. But unfortunately, Cape Town didn't receive the expected support from the national government or the Department of Transport, and it was not sustainable. They couldn't keep the program going on their own.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping, something similar can possibly be looked at, and everyone nationally needs to take in. I think, the government has really been part of this problem. Any proposed solutions the taxi has shut them down. And obviously the drivers work on a commission-based system and they earn a minimum salary on the same par as farm workers and some domestic workers. There's no labor legislation regulating them. So in itself, the root cause, taxis aren't the root cause. It's a symptom of lack of regulation, deeply corrupt law enforcement system that's been allowed to become entrenched over the last decades. And let's be honest, if we had a good public transport system with the buses and trains, there wouldn't be a monopoly right now.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, hey, we can wish for these things, but the reality is what we've got, and we desperately need the taxi system, to the public transport system as it is, flawed as it is, to work, because it's, as you quite rightly said, it's integral to the thriving of the economy or the lack thereof. So I think it's in everyone's interest to make things as smooth as possible and as well-regulated as possible.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're getting there.
Yeah. I think DOCRIS campaigns to hold the drivers accountable is a step in the right direction. I mean, we need to support that. So anyone who sees a transgression, they can log on to the email and report it.
Yes, and apparently the taxi bosses are very concerned about the reputational damage, etc., because ultimately if they are launching their new e-hailing service in competition with Uber and Bolt, etc.
Competition.
They cannot afford reputational damage to scupper their business plans before they even start. Yeah. So they're very keen to regularize and regulate and to bring everyone on side. It's in no one's interest for lawlessness to prevail.
Absolutely.
It really isn't.
So, obviously we do need to rebuild public transport infrastructure. There won't be any meaningful change until, government's involvement is part of the
solution. There are laws. They just need simply to be properly implemented.
Yeah.
There needs to be better law enforcement across the board, which is one of the major key deliverables that we're going to be working on as a nation going forward, according to the new Government of National Unity. So we'll watch the space very clearly, closely, but I'm optimistic. Are you?
Yeah. I'm conservative. I'm normally an optimistic person, but when it comes to the taxi industry and the captured mafia cartel that's operating, I'm not going to be supporting the app, let me tell you.
But listen, we are all victims of you can call them, any kind of structure you like, the organized structure benefiting to the detriment of the ordinary man and woman in the street. I mean, I would imagine the banking system is pretty much the same kind of deal.
Corporate, interesting.
They'll give you money when you don't need it, but when you need it, try and get your money. Uh-huh. Try.
Do you know that Kwadukuza Municipality, they at the last week's meeting, council meeting, they for the financial year end, June 2024, their electrical losses, non-material, it was 314 million rand.
Wow, this is an interesting one. Why don't we just take a breather and we'll come back and unpack that on the other side.
The outdoor life is for everyone. and our clothes are too. It's made to last in the sun, wind and weather. Whether you're fishing, hiking, camping or going to work. Get all your favorite brands like First Ascent, Cape Storm, African Nature, High Tech and Columbia all under one roof. Outdoor Warehouse, for every adventure. Also shop online. The outdoor life is for everyone. And our clothes are too. It's made to last in the sun, wind and weather. Whether you're fishing, hiking, camping or going to work. Get all your favorite brands like First Ascent, Cape Storm, African Nature, High Tech and Columbia all under one roof. Outdoor Warehouse, for every adventure. Also shop online.
Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito offers exceptional customer service for all your vehicle needs. Located in the heart of the community, they're easily accessible, making it convenient for you to find your perfect Toyota. Their highly trained service division and parts center is committed to providing expert technical advice and sourcing parts nationwide, ensuring your complete satisfaction. Our people deliver. It's not just a slogan, it's their promise to deliver a superior experience. Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito, where exceptional service meets all your motoring needs.
Join us for a cultural celebration at Ashton International College, Bolito's Ashton Arts Festival on Saturday, 3rd of August. Entrance is free. Starting at 11 a.m., enjoy live music, a vibrant market, and an art and photography exhibition. Participate in workshops or relax and enjoy concerts, including the KZN Philharmonic Orchestra, with Ashton students at noon. Don't miss the Senior College 2024 play, Noises Off, with performances on the 1st, the 2nd of August, and the final show on the Saturday evening. See you there.
20 minutes past 3 o'clock, and...
Experience off-road adventure like never before with a new Suzuki Jimny.
Switch to the future of radio with our digital stream.
Well, that was a very interesting technical excitement. Obviously, we've stirred up a hornet's nest, but it is 20 minutes past 3 o'clock. And Uncensored with Penny Fulry continues.
So what I was going to jump in and say, the mayor highlighted electricity losses for the current financial year in 2024 to $314 million. So when Dion Docker's chairman was on the show recently, I asked him about the electricity losses, what impact it's going to have on the ratepayer. And he said that the municipality, with the help of the Vutela Ilembe LED program and funding from the Swiss government, they were working on plans to reduce these losses. They had a certain step plan with a number of key points that they were going to be implementing. One of them was it was called the SCADA, Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System. That's the right word. And I know the executive director of electricity spoke about it last year, and they're still trying to implement it. But someone that I talked to from an industry expert, he says, well, the system will improve monitoring and the control of the electrical infrastructure. He doesn't know if it's going to be able to control the theft, because KDM will have the control of switching it on and off. So if you just look at the last 3 years, 2022 year end, 237 million losses. Electricity, the year 23 was 262 million. Right now, it's 314 million. So our electricity went up at the start of this year, this 1st of July, 10.5% our tariff went up. And obviously, it was a slight less than the 12.7 increase that NERSA has dictated. But did you know that eThekwini has the cheapest electricity in the country?
No.
That was also, I was like shocked. So a small business operating in KDM, when I was asked to do a comparison using the same kilowatts with the bill actually, it was someone operating the same shop in eThekwini, the electricity bill was the same. However, according to my expert, we just took a laundromat as an example with a supply of 150 amps. It works out, having a laundromat here in Quadacusa works out to about 6,800 rand more per month, 10% more than eThekwini. So that was quite interesting.
Wow.
eThekwini actually has the cheapest electricity as a municipality in the whole country. Their top level really works well. They've got it tied down. So it's interesting.
But who's stealing our electricity?
So do you know that 70% is corporate theft, which I will be unpacking in the next episode?
Wow.
Yeah. And
are you going to name names?
If they verified, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that will be something to watch out for and to stay tuned for, because Penny Faree is, she's been doing a huge amount of background investigation into all sorts of interesting facets of life on the North Coast. And weekly on Uncensored with Penny Faree, you get to hear about it first. Of course, it also goes up as a podcast straight after the show. Which means that if you've just joined us and you're wondering, what on earth are these people talking about? Yeah, you've missed half the conversation, maybe more, but don't worry, because shortly you can go onto our app. It's available on the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, absolutely free, or onto our website, Radio Life and Style.
Yeah.
And you can then click on the Uncensored with Penny Faree. You'll find her on the afternoon show. And you can share that information with friends and family. Amaze your friends. Impress your relatives. Generally be in the know.
Yeah, so there are a number of topics. We're also going to be looking at gender-based violence, and you know, we're going to be looking at it in the next couple of weeks, and what recourse do victims have, and how are they being let down by the system in our town? We're going to unpack that as well.
Yes, it would seem that there's been one very high-profile case which has divided the town.
Yeah.
Because I think almost everyone that has been in Ballito for a while is aware of the characters involved, or the people involved, shall we say. And because legally one doesn't want to name names, there are children involved, obviously. It's very difficult to discuss. But one can discuss the principle. And I think it's important, because there are organizations that profess to be supportive of measures to combat gender-based violence, etc., that don't seem to have risen to this occasion, and we wonder why. But that'll be coming up in another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree. Penny, thank you so much for joining us on a Wednesday afternoon.
Thank you, Dave.
Looking forward to the next edition next Wednesday.
Bye, everyone.